Fourth need is the need for connection and love. And by the way, who needs connection and love? Someone says, get out of my way! That's code for, I feel insignificant, I really like some love. I know it doesn't usually look that way, but that's really what it is. It's somebody who feels like that's not even possible, so they'll settle for certainty, or they'll settle for significance. Most people have had experiences in their life where they either really never felt loved, or they felt loved and it was taken away. It was felt loved when they're born, but it was taken away. We all have times when it was taken away. You did nothing wrong and someone didn't love you. That creates a wound. And what most people learn is you can't count on love from other people, so I'm going to either focus on certainty or variety or significance because I don't know if I'll ever get the love. And so they settle for whatever love hopefully shows up. But they never fully invest themselves. Now, if you've never fully vested yourself in connection with another person, to fully vest yourself, you have to be vulnerable, don't you? You're not vesting in yourself going, love you, babe. That doesn't work, right? You have to be open up in order to connect with somebody. When you open up, you're vulnerable. And so what most people learn is, no, I'll open up. Yeah, take a look. Sure, take a look. I'm here. Sure. All right. Take a look. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. What do you mean I'm not open? I'm totally open. And what happens, though, is as a result of that, they feel tight. And so what they do is they go try to feel significant to overcome for the fact that they feel so absolutely insignificant in the area called love. This is the area that all of you are seeking, whether you know it or not, more than anything else. Because this is the deepest need we all have. Most of you are not loving yourselves. You'll give it to everybody else. Some of you do it by the looks you give people. Some of you do it by trying to be the best. But all you really want is love. And most of you are willing to give. But part of the next few days might be about learning how to give it to yourself. And maybe it's not learning. Maybe it's just doing it. Maybe it's the belief you have to learn how to love yourself that keeps you from doing what's natural. Maybe there's no technique to it. Maybe the technique is do for yourself what you would do for those you love. Maybe it's that simple. Maybe if you'd hug them, maybe you actually hug yourself. It feels kind of weird at first, but why do you do it to other people? Because it feels good, right? Someone says, touch yourself. Yes, ma'am, that's another good way of doing that. Thank you, I'll write that one down. God, I love you, Tony. You know? Do you say I love you to people you love? How many of you say I love you to the people you love? How many of you say that to yourself on a regular basis? You know what to do to love other people, but you don't do it to yourself. You go, well, that would be weird. Of course, there are a lot of great religious books. One great book is called The Good Book, the Bible. And it says, love thy neighbor like thy... What does that presuppose? That whatever you do for your neighbor, you do for you. If you'd say, I love you to your neighbor, and you look them in the eyes and do that, have you ever done that in the mirror and really meant it? Unless you create a relationship with yourself, how will you ever have a quality relationship with someone else? You say, I keep recreating these horrible relationships. Start with you. Right? You have no relationship with yourself, so how can you have a relationship with someone else? How will you introduce yourself to someone else when you don't know you? Kind of difficult. Because you're not doing the things for yourself that you would do for those you love. Whatever you would do, just think of, if you wanted to express love to someone right now, you really loved, what would you do? Say out loud what you do. Just rattle off things you do. If there's someone here you totally loved and you wanted them to know you love them, what would you do? Quick. Tell the person next to you all the things you would do for someone you love to show them you love them. Just tell them all the things. Go ahead.
At this point in the seminar, Tony asks the audience to say out loud what they would do if they wanted to express love to someone right now. He then asks them to tell the person next to them all the things that they would do. During the next minute, think about all of the things you would do to express love to someone and write those ideas in your journal. Then, if possible, stop the audio and share those things with a friend, loved one, or spouse. Then return to the program.
Okay, stop. Now of all the things you just said, how many would say that you do 80% of those things for yourself? 50% of those things for yourself? 25% of those things for yourself? 10% or less of those things for yourself? None of those things for yourself. So it's not hard to figure out if you don't feel love what the problem is. You don't do anything to make yourself feel love. Right? This would not be rocket science if you're dealing with someone else. You go, I never touch them, I never kiss them, I never tell them I love them, I never do anything special for them, but I can't figure out why they don't feel loved by me. But then we look at you and you don't even look at yourself in a loving way. And you go, that'd be weird. No, it's not weird. Here's what's weird. Living in a culture that so disassociates you from your love for yourself that you wonder why you're achieving so much but you're not fulfilled and happy at the level you deserve. And that culture is an American culture, a German culture, a Japanese culture, an Italian culture, although the Italians are pretty close. They'll touch themselves. Your mama. Australians culture. Am I right? So you got to think about this. Because this is a need, my friends. Now, you can meet this need for love and connection lots of ways. You don't have to do those things for yourself. You can feel love and connection by intimacy, right? By a loving conversation, by a hug, by making love physically. You can have it by a walk through nature. You can feel connection from God, connection with nature. You can do it by looking at a piece of art and feel the artist's soul. Listen to a piece of music and feel that connection, can't you? Be moved emotionally, right? You can feel that sense of love and connection by getting ill. Because if you get really sick, people come, especially if you make it to the hospital, they think you're dying, especially, oh, I love you. It's amazing. And by the way, you think some people don't figure that out? Unconsciously, if not consciously? You can get a lot of love by having problems. In this culture, if you're successful on a regular basis, do people love you more? No, they love you in the beginning, and then they start to resent you. Why do they resent you? Because when people succeed, the only way we know we're significant is by comparing to something else. So what most people do is if they see someone else is succeeding more than they are, instead of saying, wow, what a great role model. Isn't that cool? What can I learn? How good for them? That's awesome. Instead, they go, probably stole from somebody. Isn't that true? In Australia, they have a term for it, but it's around the world. They call it the tall poppy syndrome. Right? You get too tall, they come and cut you down. Because they don't want you thinking you're so hot. Why do they so care whether you think you're hot or not? Because what they really care about is they think they're less hot than you. It's not how you think about yourself that bothers them. It's that if you think you're that hot, and you really are that hot, and I'm not. So there's two ways to have the tallest building in town. One way is tear down everybody else's building. The other way is keep building yours. And when everybody else quits, keep building. But most people don't understand that. So they try to tear down, right? Isn't that what people do? Now, I've got some great friends. You know, one of the reasons I have some unbelievably successful friends is because when they succeed, I cheer for them. I'm thrilled for them. I don't go, oh my God, they got that, and I don't. Because I know all of us have different lessons, times, and energies. I don't know if that's what I'm committed to. If I'm committed to it, I know I can do that. But if you don't wish somebody else the best, you hear about their success and you're not euphoric about it, and you're angry or hurt or tightness inside of you, then you have just guaranteed you'll never have that level of success. Because if you resent someone else for it, you teach your brain that that's a bad thing to do. In fact, you teach your brain this will equal no love. And we live in a culture that basically, when people screw up, what happens? You feel like, hey man, I know how it feels. Come here, I love you, buddy. Love you. You get all this love when you screw up. You get all this love when you fail. Because people feel a what? Connection. Because most people don't succeed. That's why you better choose your friends well.